You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
First of all, if you did not get the YouVersion notes, there's a part of what I'm teaching this morning that will not be on the screen. So if you have the notes with you from the YouVersion free Bible app, scan that QR code, get them. You're going to want to have them, and it will be content that you won't have a little bit later. So I'll give you a second to do that. And by the way, while you're doing that, I just want to tell you how much easier it is to open the Word of God, to teach it in English, como español, porque cuando hablar en español es más difícil, porque la lengua es no es bueno a mí, porque puede hablar español más o menos bien, pero otras personas piensan que puedo hablar español y es muy difícil. So, okay? All right. I'm just saying, the problem when you start speaking in Spanish to the people is that they think you can speak Spanish. So I had a translator when I taught on Sunday morning, but on Saturday when I taught the students, I taught in Spanish completely, and they said I did a good job, but they're also very polite. So anyway, I want to talk about the game, or there are multiple games of dominoes, and I've got some dominoes here. These are double 12 dominoes, which are really big. I don't know if you can see that. And actually, there's a view here, yeah. So you can kind of see what's happening if you can't see the angle here. We're experimenting with that. You can see really how bald I am. Wow, that's great. Maybe that was the reason the lights were a problem. It was just pew. Anyway, so. This particular game, Kendra's family, my wife's family, they love dominoes, and it's like their thing to do whenever the family gets together, parties, whatever. And so they kind of taught me. I'm not a huge domino-er, and I'm not even a domino pizza-er, sorry. But this particular game is called Chicken Feet. And the way it works is you can kind of see, you can't see the numbers there, but you start with a double 12, and everyone has to go around. And they start with 7 dominoes in their hand, and they have to go around, and if you can place a domino against that, then you do. So you'd have these dominoes in your hand, and you'd look at your hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, I guess I can show them. No one's seeing what I'm doing. And we're not playing a real game here, so I guess it is okay if you see it. So if it were my turn, I've got these 7 dominoes, and I've got to find somewhere that I can put my domino, and you can't see it all of these match, so I could just make stuff up and be like, yeah, this is all perfect. But you have to match a domino. Let's see if I can find something here. There, I can put one right there. That one lines up. Just believe me. Trust me that it does. And then if you can't match, then you have to draw another one from the pile. And the way it goes is you go around. This for this particular game, the way their family plays. You go around and you keep going. Because again, if I can place something, then I do not draw a domino, so I have one less domino. You keep going for that round until someone runs out of dominoes, okay? And when the first person that runs out of dominoes, that is not correct. The first person that runs out of dominoes, then the round is over. And the way this game works is that you want to have each round, you want the lowest score. So if you go out first, your score is 0. But then the next, you know, then as everyone stops right where they are, you know, if you have 7 dominoes or maybe 12 dominoes in your hand, that's a high score. If you have 2 dominoes, it's less. And I don't even know how they score it because I let someone else do that for me because, you know, math. But the issue is that each round, your goal in the game of chicken feet, as they call it, is to have the lowest score. Unlike other games where, you know, you want to have a higher score, you want to have more, you want to win, you want to get more, you want to get more. In the game of dominoes, the goal is the lowest score. And when it comes to this, if you have the lowest score at the end of 12 rounds, you win. And of course, if you have the lowest score in one round, you win that round. And when it comes to us as people, and specifically as Christ followers, our goal in our relationship with other people needs to be to get the lowest score. Because our American culture, our win culture says, I want to be better than you. I want to be superior than you. Maybe that means I make more money than you. Maybe that means I have a position that's higher than you. Maybe I just look better than you. Maybe I sit at the cool table at school. Maybe maybe I have a nicer car. Maybe my I have a fuller head of hair. I don't know. But we have a culture that says winning and being better. And I mean, we watch reality shows, and I'm a sucker for some of those too. I've been watching The Floor is Lava. Like, I'm sorry that I'm stupider now because I've been watching that show on Netflix. It's so stupid, but I can't stop watching it. But anyway, but the goal of these reality shows is to show how that you're superior. And of course, some of them, everyone gets together and votes off the inferior person, votes them off the island, votes them out. And our culture is built around winning, 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 getting the highest score, being above, being better, being faster, being richer, whatever. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, because it's actually a good thing, but biblically, as followers of Jesus, it's supposed to be just the opposite. We're supposed to live our lives like we're playing the game of dominoes. We're supposed to live our lives with the lowest score, because when we have the lowest score, then we actually win. And so winning in this way is what God wants us to do. And so we're going through this series called Insert Name Here from the letter to the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in your Bible. And the reason we've called it Insert Name Here is because this letter was originally written to a bunch of churches, but sent to Ephesus to distribute. And so it was kind of like, okay, church, you know, in this area, put your name in there. Insert your name here. Insert your name here. And it applies to us, too. As MC3, as followers of Jesus today in the 21st century, in 2026, we can insert our name into this letter because it applies to us directly. And so the point that I want us to walk away with today, and Kyle prayed about it. I don't know if he saw my notes ahead of time. But the point I want us to walk away with is this. Insert name here and relate in humility. Insert name here and relate in humility. And what I want us to do is we need to recognize in our relationships with other people, in order to have the lower score, we have to put ourselves beneath other people. And we've talked about this topic. It's in the Bible, so we've talked about it before multiple times. If you remember, at one point a couple of years ago, we played Limbo, and Kendra is upstairs with Ignition, and they're playing Limbo to talk about the goal of Limbo is to what? To be lower than everyone else. And that should be our relationship with other people, is to relate to other people in humility. And that's what humility means. Humility says, I'm not trying to be better than you. I'm not trying to be superior to you. You might not even deserve it. But I'm going to put myself beneath you. I'm going to try to score lower and put you higher. I'm going to relate in humility with other people. And so we're looking at this. We've been going through this letter. Kirk taught last week. I'm so grateful for him to fill in for me while I was in Mexico. And we're continuing today in Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 5, and that's in the YouVersion notes right there, so you can just follow along. But I want to talk about how the lowest score wins, as Paul shared in Ephesians chapter 5. And so just to give you some context, if you were not here last week, we're in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5. And in this part of Ephesians, Paul just finished talking to the church in Ephesus, to all the people in that area, and to us, saying, it's really important that you live wisely. Live wisely. And Kirk taught some of this last week. Live wisely in what you do. And we talked about it in our prime groups this past week. He said, live wisely and worship God with everything you've got. And then he kind of goes from that thought into this next thought, because these are tied together, because your worship of God and being a wise person is tied to how you relate to one another. And so the very, very first summary statement of everything that I'm going to share, which, by the way, can be controversial in church circles. It can be controversial outside of church circles, and we'll talk about why I don't care in a little bit. But this can be controversial, but I want you to hear the most important verse in this entire passage. And the first thing that we're supposed to do is that you submit to them. So who am I talking to? I'm talking to you If you're a follower of Jesus and you want to honor God in your relationship with others, you submit to them. You place yourself under them. Who is them? All of them. Who is you? Us. Because our job, our goal is to have the lowest score. We need to play dominoes in our relationships with other people. We need to submit to them. And so this verse here, which is often skipped, it's often skipped as we get to the next part, which you'll see in a moment. But it's often skipped. But this is the summary. Paul is making a summary statement. He said, everything I'm about to talk about comes back to this. And this is what Ephesians 5:21 says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. And I want to note that orange, as we go through these different passages, orange or orange, depending on how you say it, orange. Orange. That's how I say it, and I'm okay with that. Orange is the passage that we're talking, the part that we're talking about. But the blue is the why. Each time you see blue here, it'll be the why. Because Paul doesn't just say, do it because I said. He said, you need to do this. We need to relate in humility. We need to go for the lowest score because of what Jesus has done for us. And so each time there's going to be a little blue part here, just kind of a, here's the why. This isn't just do it because I said, but the why. And the word submit, and we're going to come back to this word in a little bit. Well, we're going to be on this word a lot. But the word, it's all written in Greek. The letter was originally written in Greek. That was the language that everyone spoke. And the word is hypotasso. And it means to place under something else, to place something in order after something else. And so Paul is saying to followers of Jesus, you need to submit, to place yourself under everyone else. Why do we do that? To honor Christ, out of reverence for Christ. So this isn't just something you do. This is something we do because we want to honor Christ because he has called us to this. And you'll see why in a little bit. But this is the summary statement. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the overarching thing. Everything else that we're going to read, and this is where the controversy is about to start. Everything else we're going to read comes back to this. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, what does that look like? Summary statement, you submit to them. Well, now let's be specific. So wives submit to husbands. Wives submit to husbands. Wait, what? You don't tell me what to do. I'm every woman. Anyway, like that's if you're a woman and your wife is saying that to your husband. Like, I'm not going to submit to him. You don't know who he is. I don't really care. Because we are told, wives are told to submit to their husbands. And this is what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. So again, we're all to submit to one another. So husbands aren't like, yeah, woman, you submit. We'll get to that later. You can't tell her to do that. But in a second, ladies will be like, yeah, husband, you better do your job because it's a lot harder. Okay, so he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, which, by the way, your own husbands. This isn't every woman must submit themselves to every man. This is every wife must submit to their husband to place them under, not to become their slave. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Why? As you do to the Lord. It's in blue there. I put it in blue, not the Bible. As you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Paul is saying, look, we follow what Christ has. We submit to him, say, Christ, we believe you, we trust you, we want to go with what you have in mind for us, because Jesus has our best interest in mind. And so Paul is saying that as a wife, it is your responsibility to submit, to place yourself under, to go for the lowest score, not to prove your femininity. You are all beautiful women. You are very feminine. That's wonderful. But this isn't where that applies. Submit, saying, you know what, I'm putting my husband above me. Why? Because that's what we do for Jesus. We say, Jesus, not that your husband's Jesus, although his responsibility is close. We put ourselves, wives are putting themselves under their husbands out of, because that's how we do it for Jesus. We don't always understand everything, but we submit. And again, this isn't slavery. We'll come back to that. And the Beamers talked about this. They're in Florida right now watching. I think they're driving and listening right now. But during the Wise Up Again series, that's on the slideshow loop, they talked about this on the week called Marry Up. And they had it's just incredible. So if you were not here this past summer to hear that, you need to check that out on our website. But here's the thing about this, ladies. And again, we're not given any room. We're not given any, oh yeah, but. Submit to your husbands except if or only when they. But if the husband, men, are doing their part, it should be a joy and a pleasure to say, yeah, I'm with you. And yeah, I'm putting you above me. And I have watched jerk husbands. Let's just be straight. I've watched jerk husbands be changed by wives that said, know what? I'm willing to put myself beneath you. You don't deserve it, but I'm doing it anyway. Because this is for our best. So there's one. You, the lowest score wins. Wives should submit to husbands. The next one then, of course, is husbands should submit to wives. Now, like I said, husbands' job is even harder. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, look what happens here. Look at orange. Paul says, husbands, love your wives. The word love here, the Greek word is agape. It means unconditional. It means love them if they look pretty hot today. But if they woke up, the makeup's not on, and they're not feeling pretty good, then you don't have to love them. Love them if dinner's good, but not love them. No. Love them. Because it's unconditional. Agape your wives. So, okay, yeah, I love them. You look nice, sweetie. Happy Valentine's Day. Just as Christ loved the church. Okay, well, you didn't say that. Okay, well, what does that look like anyway? He gave himself up for her. Paul says, gentlemen, you need to love your wives. Submission. Submission's easy. You need to love like Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Jesus offered his life for us, unconditionally, undeserved. And that's what we're supposed to do as husbands. To love our wives, to submit to our wives that way, just as Christ submitted himself to us. Said, you don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending. Am I missing a word? Reckless? Love of Christ. Okay, yeah, I got it all. That's what we're supposed to do as husbands. We're supposed to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I love this passage, and we don't have time to get into it. We talked about this in the Family Inc. series, actually in the Marriage Works series, which is way up in the corner there. He says, to make her holy. Look what Christ did. He made her holy, cleanse her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Again, I don't have time to get into all these really cool things. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands, just in case you didn't get the Christ love in the church, love your wives as Christ loved the church. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Guys, you love your bodies. Some of you are like, yeah, I love my body, and that's why I work out so much, and I, you know, pump the iron and do all that stuff. That was Arnold Schwarzenegger. But sometimes we love our bodies in another way. As Paul goes on, he says, he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for it just as Christ does the church. So maybe you're loving your body in the exercise side, or maybe you're loving your body. I mean, Paul says, I buffet my body to make it my slave. Some of you buffet it. You work out and you run and you do all that stuff. Some of you just buffet your body. And it's the same concept. It's because you love your body. You love to eat. Like, he's not talking about how healthy or fit you are. He's like, you care for yourself. And that's how we need to love our wives, more so. He says, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does his church. For we are members of his body. And he goes on and says the quotes from Genesis. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so, the way a husband submits to his wife is frankly greater than the way a wife needs to submit to her husband, because he's supposed to give up everything for his wife. Gentlemen, when's the last time you've given up anything for your wife? Your restaurant, your show, your time, your self-care. Guys don't use that term probably, but But we're supposed to give up. We're supposed to submit to our wives in that way. Christ gave up everything for the church, and we are supposed to do the same as husbands to our wives. So, you all submit to them, wives to husbands to wives, going on, children to parents. And by the way, this word children does not just mean little kids. This means a subordinate, someone who is your child. Like, I have children that I would consider mostly grown. Well, Tommy's really grown, but he was singing right here. He's the one that, was blocking the lights. They're supposed to go over everyone's head. I've got a married daughter. I've got another daughter that's getting married in a few more months. This all applies that children are supposed to submit to their parents. And this is where the parents love it. Yeah! Pointing to all the kids that I know that the parents are in the room. All y'all back there. Yeah, you better submit to your parents. And this is what Paul says. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 6 now, he's moved on to the next page, next chapter. Children, obey your parents. Obey means to follow, to put yourself under, to submit, to yield. That's what this word obey means. We are called, children are called to submit, to obey your parents. Why? In the Lord. This isn't just because you're supposed to. It's because this is how God created it. He said, for this is right. And now he quotes from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And this commandment, if you read back in Exodus chapter 20, you'll see. It says, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's actually for your benefit to obey your parents. Because even though they're old and irrelevant, even though their pants are still tight to their legs when I guess we're supposed to be wide now, but maybe next week it's going to change again. I don't know. Even though they think they're cool, but they're not. There's still something beneficial because your parents do know a little bit more than you do. And that applies to people our age going, yeah, my parents, they know things. I can learn from them. So this is a promise. Like, to obey your parents is actually a good thing. It's for your benefit to just back up and say, you know what? You don't know. You don't know what it's like. You know what? I'm just saying from this end of the spectrum. No, I don't. I don't know what it's like. I was just talking about lunch trays, and they were like, oh, does that college even use lunch trays anymore? Like, I don't know. We had lunch trays. Like, isn't that a thing now? I don't know if it is or not. I was telling my kids last night, or my kid Tommy, we went out last night at 3. Kendra and me and Tommy for like a three-person Valentine's date. And I'm not even sure what we were talking about, but I was reflecting on how there was a TV show, or it was a movie we saw on TV, and back then there weren't even VCRs. Like, you had to watch whatever the TV made you watch. You couldn't, if you don't know what a VCR is, let's say VCR became DVD, DVD became Blu-ray, Blu-ray became digital and streaming. Okay, you with me now? There was once upon a time where you just watched whatever they made you watch on the TV because that's what was there. So I'm old and I'm outdated, irrelevant, but there are things that I've learned in my age, in my years, that kids can learn from their parents. I'm not saying me, I'm saying all of us. And some of those things are like, here are my successes. And let me tell you, all of us as children of parents, because guess what? You are. If you are here, you have a parent that there are even things we can learn from their failures. So before we start going, pointing the finger at all their mistakes, because I know Kendra and I talk about this all the time. You know, what are my kids going to be sharing on the couch with their counselor years from now? Going, oh, my dad did this. I'm like, yeah, guilty. Yep. But we can learn from that too. So children are submitting to their parents. And now before we get all like, yeah, kids, stick it to them. Also, we have to have parents submit to children. Parents need to submit to their children. What? Submit to their children? Does that mean give them everything that they want and make sure that they're happy? No! That is not what that means. It doesn't mean, oh, you asked for this? Sure, you've got it. It means that we need to care for them. In this passage in Ephesians 6:4, ladies, moms, before you get all like, oh, good, I'm off the hook. The word fathers is actually the Greek word means parents. They didn't really use the word parent when this was written, so they used the word fathers, but the word means parents. Parents, Do not exasperate your children. So we are told to not exasperate. Don't get frustrate your kids. Instead, and this is why, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so what is Paul saying here? He's saying, parents, you need to submit to your kids, not by giving in every time they ask for something. Please do not do that. That is bad. But what it means is you give in your own agenda for the sake of being intentional about your kids. Because you know what's easier? This is so much easier. You get it? Sitting here doing nothing is so much easier. What's not easy is being intentional and saying, hey, you were wrong there and I need to correct you. Here's why you need to obey what your mom has to say. Here's how I can help you do that. Here's why you shouldn't say those words. It's about training them, and we want them to become more like Jesus. And just for what it's worth, the only instruction parents have is not make sure your kids are well-rounded. It's not make sure your kids get really good SAT scores. Make sure that they're excellent athletes, incredible musicians. It's make sure they love Jesus. That is the instruction to parents. Your number one job as a parent is to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And there's two words here. The word training, the Greek word, is an action word. It means discipline. It means sometimes as a parent, you're going to have to correct your kids. And correction and discipline is okay. It's biblical. The world will say, no, give them whatever they want. And you can do that, but it will not work out well for your kids because you need discipline. And the other word here, instruction, is words. It's a verbal. So there's action and verbal. And the verbal is not just sitting back going, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Not just whacking them on the behind or punishing them and sending them to their room, but saying, let me tell you why what you did is wrong. Let me tell you how your words hurt that person. Let me tell you how your actions are going to get you in trouble if you don't change your behavior. We use the words, but again, it is so much easier to not submit to our kids and sit back and be like, do whatever you want. I don't care because I'm watching a really good Super Bowl. Super Bowl wasn't really good. Even in English, it really wasn't a great game. You know, like geographically, you guys sit in like the Northeast, the Pacific Northwest. Like in this room, they're from the Pacific Northwest, and so they sit up there on the map. So that makes you guys Florida, I guess. I don't know. It's easier to not do anything, but we are told to submit to our children, and we are told to raise them, to be intentional. To raise them to love Jesus. That's the one command parents are given, is to raise our kids, to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So, moving on, parents and to children. And now, employees to bosses. Employees to bosses. And again, this passage is going to be kind of weird. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, Paul goes on and says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. And you're like, what? The Bible supports slavery? What the world? And we actually talked about this very specifically in the Cropped 2 series. That's on the slideshow loop. You can go back and listen to that. But slavery in New Testament times is not what we consider the African-American slave trade pre-Civil War. It is not at all the same thing. The word slave, the Greek word is doulos. And a slave, a doulos, was someone that owed somebody money, and so they sold themselves as slaves. Or, in other words, they took a job to pick up some extra cash. They were doulos. And so that is how it worked. You became, you had a master, you had a boss. You would say, okay, I need to pay off this debt. Can I come and work for you in your farm? Can I come and work for you in your wood shop? Whatever it was. And so they would come and work to pay off this debt. They were doulos. And again, that's the word slave that doesn't translate really well into English because there really isn't a word like that. But Paul says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. So he's saying, employees, follow your bosses. Have you seen my boss? I don't care. We're supposed to do it with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart because we are supposed to obey our bosses just as you would obey Christ. well, Jesus, I should obey, but my boss, that's a little different. It doesn't matter because we are told to treat them the same way. We are supposed to obey our bosses. And he goes on and says, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, like not just, you know, hey, you're doing a good job because I'm watching. But when they're not watching, you do whatever you want. No, he says, but as slaves of Christ or servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So he means not just when they're watching, you're like, hey, good job. But when they're not watching, honor them. Submit to their leadership. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So Paul says, look, it is our job as employees. If we work for somebody, whether it's a man or the man, or it's a woman or whatever it is, we are supposed to serve them. We are supposed to submit to their leadership as if we were serving Jesus. And there is no room there. They might be a horrible boss. But as Paul says, maybe you might win their favor. Maybe they see something in you. And we were just talking about this with Tommy the other day. Or we were talking about it in Prime Group, too. It was one of the questions in Prime Group. Have people seen the light in you? And some of us need to be the person that picks up the napkins. If you don't know what that means, you can ask Andrea. Because it's a really cool story she shared. But a lot of times we want to laugh and make fun of people. But maybe we just need to step up and be the one to care for other people. And when you do that in your job, maybe that's going to win them over. Maybe God's going to use you to change their heart. So, employees to bosses, and then finally, at least so far, then we've got bosses to employees. So if you're the boss, if you're in charge, if you're the one in control, or if you're, as it is worded here, master, which is the one who is in charge of a doulos, in verse 9, Paul says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Treat them with respect. Treat your servants, treat your employees in the same way, whether they work under you, with you, around you, whatever. Do not threaten them. Since you both, and this is what he says, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Paul's like, look, before you start thinking, well, I'm the boss and you're less than me, Paul's like, no. Play dominoes with your employees. Make sure you have the lower score because you know who their boss is? It's not you. You know who your boss is? It's not you either. It's Jesus, your master who is in heaven, capital M. So just before you start thinking you're the boss, you're the one in charge, remember who put you there. So, bosses are to submit to their employees by leading them in the way that Christ leads us. So, those are the ones in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. And of course, this series is about Ephesians. So, I'm going to give you some more lowest score wins items throughout the New Testament. I don't have the verses on the screen. I'm going to go quickly with them. But some more things there, and you don't even have blanks to fill in the notes because I just want you to know that there's a lot more ways that we're supposed to submit to people that are not just in Ephesians. So the first one is as citizens to authorities. In Romans 13 and in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are told to submit to the governing authorities. The authorities that are over us. That is our governor. Some of you are like, no way I'm going to submit to that governor. That is our president. The other half of you are like, no way I'm going to submit to that president. And some of you are like, your local elected officials. And we're like, no way do I even know who they are. Like, the point is not who they are or whether you think they're worthy of that position. The point is that we are supposed to submit to the authorities because God put them there for our benefit. And you can read Romans 13. It's in your notes. You can read 1 Peter chapter 2. And he even goes so far as to talk about, right, April 15th is coming up. Even taxes. That's not fair. Well, God is using the people that are in charge of us, whether we like them or not. They're not there accidentally. They're not there by mistake. They're there because God put them there. And we probably don't understand all the reasons why. But it is our job to submit. And again, if you were like, oh, I can't believe you said that. That's fine. I didn't read the Bible. The second thing is we're as leaders, to the congregation. So as church leaders, as elders, as ministry team coordinators, it is our job to submit to you. It doesn't mean do whatever you want. It doesn't mean everyone votes, because there's no voting in the Bible. Every time they voted in the Bible, they threw someone in a well and sold them to slavery. They voted in the Bible and threw a guy off a ship. They voted in a Bible. Like, voting is not really a positive thing in the Bible. But we're supposed to, as leaders, submit to the congregation, submit to the church body, because we're shepherds. We're to care for them. And Matthew, Jesus talks to the disciples and says, look, you know how it is. Everybody who's in charge is like, I'm the boss. I'm the man. Look at me. Watch what I do. And Jesus is like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Not for you. It's different. If you're leading the church, if you're leading God's people, if you're leading children in Ignition, if you're leading the worship band, whatever it is, there's all these roles that we have leadership. Just, you should put yourself beneath them. You should play dominoes with them. And you should make sure you have the lowest score. You need to serve those that are under you, under your authority. And we talked about this in Churchianity 101. We spent a whole week talking about the church leadership. And you can go back and find that on our website. But of course, it flips the other way too. That the congregation is to submit to the church leaders. Oh, you don't know what they're like. Well, I kind of do. I'm one of them. But the idea of, like, what is this? This is just your authoritarian way of doing things. Can we go back to the mistakes? Like, if you guys are all sitting on your couch, like, here with your counselor going, oh, here's all the problems we had in church. Like, I own that because I'm a human. But my job and our job as elders is to follow the Lord, to be submissive to what God has and the direction he has. And that's not always popular. And so in Hebrews chapter 13, which, again, your notes are there, the writer of Hebrews says, submit to your leaders because you know what? Ultimately, they're not accountable. I'm not accountable to you. You're small potatoes. You're nothing. My accountability, I'm accountable to God for how I lead. As elders, we are accountable to God for how I lead. That is a much higher standard for what it's worth. And the writer of Hebrews says, so basically give them a break because ministry is hard. And there are stories that I can't share with you about what happened this past week in Oaxaca, dealing and praying and crying with our brothers and sisters through a very difficult time. Ministry is hard. And I may tell you, there are so many times that I've wanted to give up. And I'm not saying, oh, we feel bad for Sean, so we do every stupid thing he says. I'm just saying, understand the bigger picture. Understand when there's something. I have a quote on my door right now that comes from the book that the elders are reading. And it says that don't forget that there is a name, my version of it, there's a name attached to every detail. That anytime you miss a detail, you forget a person. And like there are so many things that happen. And it's easy to complain about, you know, why is the floor a mess? Well, before you start complaining about that, we have people that clean the floor. And are you ready to just insult them in that way? Why are the lights like this? Well, we have people work very hard to try to make them as worshipful as possible. Like there are so many pieces here. And ministry is difficult. And so these passages say, look, just submit to your leaders. Give them a break. Follow them. Not because they're perfect, but we are accountable to God. And ultimately, if you feel you cannot submit to the leadership of your church, I'm just being straight, go to another church. I mean that. Like if you're like, these guys are off the rails, they're done, they're not honoring God, please don't sit here and fight this. Go somewhere and honor God. Because I'm accountable to God for all my mistakes and all the good things I do. So, and then finally, this is a little lesser known passage. Maybe not lesser known, but lesser talked about. As stronger people are to submit to the weaker. And this isn't about strength. This isn't about brute force. This is that there are those of us who are more mature than other people in their relationship with Jesus. And there are times we need to recognize that the people that are less mature, we just need to give them a little grace. We need to submit to them, not doing something that would cause them to stumble. And that's what these passages talk about in Romans and 1 Corinthians. But to give them a little grace. And it's sort of like, you know, when you see a child starting to walk and then they fall, you don't go up and go like, what's your problem? Why aren't you walking? Why did you fall? No, like they're just learning. You get that, you know? I don't know if you've seen an adult you do that. It'd be weird too. Why'd you fall? So I guess we don't do that ever. But if you do that, don't do that. That's wrong. But you know, my point is that we recognize there are things that kids do and differently, and we need to understand understand that. And so we need to submit to them. And it's for their benefit. Because you can turn them away from Jesus, sure. Or you can say, yeah, I'm going to give you a little grace. Oh, you just dropped an F-bomb in the middle of the conversation we're having. I'm not going to kick you out of the church. Like, it's all right. I get it. You're changing. God's working in you. And so that's another way that we need to submit. So, again, you can read those passages. They're in the notes for YouVersion there. But the point is to insert name here and relate in humility. It is our job to go for the lowest score in all of our relationships. And so, for the most part, submit to one another, as Paul says in 5:21. That's everybody. So there really isn't anyone that's, oh, that doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to you because if you're a follower of Jesus, it applies to you. So I want to kind of break this down a little bit because, like I said, this is a little bit controversial. This is like, oh, that doesn't seem fair. I want to kind of give some examples or some thoughts about what does submission look like? What does submission look like? And these are important as it comes to all those other relationships that we're talking about, all those people that we need to submit to, which is everybody. But there's some key things here. The first thing I want you to understand is that submission is personal. Submission is personal. And what that means is that the word submit, as I said earlier, is, hypotasso, there we go. The word is hypotasso, and it's in what's called the middle voice in Greek. And if you don't know what that means, that's fine. I barely do. But what it means is that it's not something that's forced. It's something that's granted. That I cannot say to you, submit. I cannot say hypotasso, because that's not submission. That's called slavery. And that is the slavery, like, you know, pre-Civil War. But the word hypotasso means I am willing to submit myself. I am submitting myself out of reverence. So husbands cannot say, wife, submit. That's not what that means. That's not what that word means. You cannot force that because that's a different word. But a wife can say, I choose to submit. You can choose to submit to your boss. And in James 4, I love how James kind of spells it out a little bit. It's the same word, submit, as hypotasso. But he adds this extra little word. I don't know what kind of word that is. Maybe there's probably some term for that kind of a word. Reflexive. I think it's reflexive. I think it is. Ooh, I don't know where that came from. He says, submit yourselves then to God. He's saying, and it's the same thing. God doesn't force us to submit to him. We have the privilege of submitting and surrendering ourselves. That's what worship is. It's saying, God, you are greater than me. You are better than me. You are more wonderful. And I'm choosing to submit. And of course, that means so much more than if God were like, get on your knees. Like, that's not love. I'm doing that because if I don't, you're going to hurt me. So James just uses that word hypotasso, but adds yourself. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. And then he says, humble yourselves. Same thought. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So just, it's important to recognize that submission, as we look in the New Testament, as Paul shares in Ephesians, it means that I place myself under. I choose to go for the lowest score. And of course, biblically, if you're playing dominoes and going for the highest score, you're going to lose. And if we live our lives going for the highest score, we're going to lose. But we choose and say, no, I am going to submit myself to your authority, whether that's because you're a governor, whether that's because you're my boss at work, whether that's because you're my child, whatever that looks like, all of those areas, we choose to place ourselves under. And it's personal. So you cannot force that on someone else. The second thing, so submission is personal. The second thing, submission is sacrificial. We need to get this. Like, we sacrifice. We talked about this a few weeks ago as well. The idea of sacrifice is not, it's just foreign. We're like, no, if that hurts, I don't want to do it. We talked about doing hard things a couple of weeks ago and how we're supposed to. And submission is part of that. This is not easy. It's not fun. It's challenging. It's difficult. And it's sacrificial. And as we sang and as Kyle quoted from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself, placing yourself under them. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have, okay, careful. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So when we humble ourselves, we're supposed to have the same attitude that Christ had. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He was God. He was like, why am I going to have anything to do with you losers down on this earth? Except that he loved us. So he didn't cling to that. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, left heaven, took the humble position of a slave, a doulos, a servant, which again, same word, and was born as a human being. So Jesus came to this earth, gave up heaven for this, for us. And then he appeared in human form. He humbled himself even more in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus is our example, and Jesus sacrificed not just heaven, but his very life for us. And so when it comes to submission, when it comes to humility, we need to be ready to sacrifice. And it might mean giving up something that you want. It might be giving up something, and we'll get to in a second, that you deserve. It might be giving up something that you really would like to have. But we have been called to submit, and it's going to be sacrificial. And again, like we said a couple weeks ago, we're going to have to do hard things. Following Jesus is not easy. It's good, but it's not easy. So understand that before we get into, you know, to recognize submission, it's going to mean you're going to give up things. And if you're not giving up something, you're probably not submitting. The third thing is that submission is denial. And it's not the river in Egypt. And this is kind of the best way I could word it because I wanted to end with an all sound. This is definitely kind of a vibe in modern church counseling circles. And that is, be careful with submission. The church throws that around. Don't let your church throw that phrase around because you can find yourself in a toxic relationship. You could be hurt. You could get trapped in a toxic relationship. So the submission idea that you hear in churches, don't do that. That's not safe. We'll get to that in a second. That's not this thought. Sorry. Put that back there. We're just going to put that on the shelf right there. Okay. There we go. Denial. Not the river in Egypt. See, I totally threw myself off with the river in Egypt. One of the things about submission is that it means we're going to have to give up what is our rights. Submission means we give up what we deserve. Submission means I deserve this thing. And you probably do. Or they don't deserve what you want, your submission. They don't deserve it. But submission is denial. It means giving up our rights. It means giving up what we deserve. And submission is not fair. But Jesus is not fair. If Jesus were fair, you and I would go to hell. That's fair. That's what we deserve. So submission is denial. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about it to the church in Rome. And he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. They might not deserve your submission. They might not deserve your respect because of what they've done, how they've acted, the way they treated them, whatever. Paul says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful what is right to do in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Paul's saying, look, they don't deserve it. I agree. But that doesn't change the fact that we are to submit ourselves to others, to place them above us, to be humble. He says, don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. He says, on the contrary, this doesn't make any sense in our self-American culture. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. No, you should let them starve. Like, I thought about this last night when we were driving up to State College. We were coming up over Seven Mountains. There was a car behind us that just came flying up, and I was passing this big old conversion van. It was gigantic. It was taking forever to get up the mountain. And so I was passing it at the speed limit, and this car comes flying up behind me. He's like right on my tail. I'm like, I'm trying to get by. I get by, and Kendra's like, what just happened there? I'm like, this guy is flying past, passes on the right, passes on the left. And there's part of me, that hoped that he wrecked. And I'd be like, sucker, And honestly, I'm having this conversation in my brain going like, hey, what did you just prepare to teach for tomorrow? Would I pull over and say, no, I don't care how you acted. Jesus wants me to serve you. Jesus wants me to submit to you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And what Paul is saying here is that if we start to take revenge, if we feel they don't deserve it and we're going to act the way they deserve, you're just as evil. You're just as bad. Over in Matthew, Jesus says this, and we talked about this in the Drastic series. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, which means take revenge. If they do this, if they take your eye, you take their eye. If they take your tooth, you take their tooth. He says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek off also. Well, that's not fair. No, it's not. That's called submission. That's called humility. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, because the law said they could sue you and take your shirt, but they couldn't take your coat. He says, give them your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, because the Romans could force anyone who was not a Roman citizen to carry their gear for up to 1 mile, but at 1 mile they drop it. Jesus says, they don't deserve it, carry it the second mile. Go the second mile. That's where we get that phrase. Submission means we have to give up. Submission means denial. And this is very un-American. And just for what it's worth, you can take this and walk wherever you want, but entitlement and submission cannot coexist. You cannot be entitled and feel like you deserve something and be a submissive person. You just can't. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that we saw this weekend at the airport, coming back from Oaxaca and the Oaxacan airport, was a bunch of snobby, rich Americans that were just rude, just so rude. And it was almost like there's all these cultures there, but the Americans were the rude, obnoxious ones. Entitlement and submission cannot coexist. Okay, now the third thing here. Submission is biblical. Going back to this thought in modern circles, like be careful about submission, because if you submit, you could get yourself into a toxic relationship. You shouldn't do that because, you know, you're not going to be able to express your oneness with the world or your own unity or yourself, whatever, 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 whatever. My point is that the issue with submission is that it's not about our opinion. It's not about what modern science or psychology says. It's biblical. And we, you, I, need to decide, are we going to follow the Bible or what the world says? And that's your decision. I just want you to know that this is a biblical concept. And what's so cool about it is in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says this. And listen, he's talking about God's discipline. And he says, moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. So, you know, as you get older, you look back and say, yeah, you know, that's really good that my dad and my mom did that. That made sense. They weren't perfect, and we'll get to that in a second. And he says, well, how much more should we submit, same word, hypotasso, to the Father of spirits, to God, and live? So he's using your parents and all of their failures, and or me as a parent, or you as a parent, and all of your failures as an example for how we submitted. And you know what? It was imperfect. And that's what he says. He says, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. In other words, yeah, they screwed up sometimes. Yeah, they screwed up a lot. But we are supposed to submit to them. And God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. The point here that I'm making with this passage in Hebrews is that the writer of Hebrews is saying we should submit to God the way we submit to our parents. And you know what? Our parents are imperfect. And he acknowledges that. And so if we are like, oh, I shouldn't submit because this could be a toxic relationship, this could be an imperfect relationship, the writer of Hebrews is like, of course it is. Why? Because you're sinners. We're all sinners. But we still submit because this is what we are called to do. This is what we are told to do. We can't let the twisting of sin twist God's word. All right. I'm running a little late. Sorry, I got excited. So submission is personal. Submission is sacrificial. Submission is denial. And submission is biblical. These are just some things to understand when it comes to submit. And as we've been doing this entire series, and we're a little bit over, but I'll apologize to my wife later with the Ignition Kids. Well, the point is that I want you to insert name here and relate in humility. That we need to play dominoes with our relationships. Say, I'm going for the lowest score. And, you know, I don't know how competitive you are, I tend to be a competitive gamer. You know, this, like, I want to win. And maybe we need to be very competitive in our relationships with one another to say, you know what? I'm going for the lowest score. I'm going to put you above me. And so we've been doing this thing every week. You can click to the next thing there. Called New Here, Name Here. And we can turn off the main house lights if you want, Sarah. And we've been looking at these, well, we're eight, but now we're down to seven because we canceled because of the snow 1 week. But eight commitments from the book of Ephesians. And in the bottom of YouVersion notes, you've got that. Can you pull me down a little bit, Isaac? Or that, the music down. At the bottom of your notes in YouVersion, you've got this phrase for the next week. It's for this new year, I will submit to others. And what we've been doing all series long is giving you a chance to reflect between you and God. No one else is going to see this. No one else is going to know this. But is there something that you need to change because of what we talked about today? Is there something you need to do differently because of this? And at the bottom of your YouVersion notes, it says this. It says, I have been selfish by demanding my way instead of submitting to blank. But starting this week, I will place them above me by blank. And so between you and God, maybe there's a person, maybe that's a friend, maybe that's your spouse, maybe that's your boss, maybe that's your neighbor. I don't know what it is. But between you and God right now, is there a person that you have been just, have God open your eyes and your heart to a person that you've just not been submitting to? Maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe you haven't had a chance and you're just making excuses. But who is it that God is calling you to submit to? So just kind of in your notes, you can put that there. Again, no one's going to see it. But then finish that statement with, by starting this week, I will place them above me by blank. What does that look like? I don't know what that looks like. Maybe that's something as simple as saying, you know what? The remote control is yours. Maybe it's something as difficult as saying, I forgive you. I'm sorry. So what I want you to do is, between you and God, figure out who that person is. What is it you're going to do? And then once you've made that commitment, as we've done in the past, we've got there's a new board, a blank board on the wall there in the lobby. And you're going to go out there and just grab a marker, a dry erase marker, and sign your name just as your commitment. I'm committing to submit to others this new year for this series. And then when you're done, come back here and I will close us in prayer. So just, I'll be quiet now. You guys in an attitude of reflection between you and God, and then go out when you're ready. And then come back in and have a seat, and I will pray.